Good morning. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of the show today. I'm Barb Sayer, CEO and Marketing Director of Sister to Sister Enterprises, a marketing and strategic consulting firm. My hope is that you will gain enough from the show to come back again and again, and that you'll tell your friends and the people you do business with about the show as well. My purpose for the show is to provide value in the form of educational pieces each time we air as to what makes a solid foundation for a business, what forms of marketing are out there, how do they work, and how do you know which one is the best fit for your business, and much, much more. Today, I'll be talking about identifying your ideal client and how to find them. That will be after our first guest today, so stay tuned to the end for this valuable educational information that can literally transform your business. The other aspect of this show is that we have in-depth interviews and with business owners and successful, established entrepreneurs. We'll pick their brains for the best practices and methods to grow your business and expand your reach. See what works and what doesn't, how to capitalize on what does work. So let's dive right into our first guest, Hugh Little, the sales wizard. Hugh, are you there?
I sure am.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Well, good morning. My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. I'm very excited to have you on the show. Hugh and I know each other because I was on his show, and he just has an amazing program for getting your business really out there and known and upping your income. You're going to love our talk with Hugh today. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Hugh. You know, what makes you tick? What are your passions, and how did you get into doing what you're doing?
Well, I have been selling for about 46 years. And about 9 years ago, I decided that it was time to start teaching some of the younger generation about some of the things that I had learned in that 40 or so years of experience in selling.
Well, thank you for
that. I call myself the sales wizard, and I'm the sales wizard because in the 46 years that I've been selling, I've made every stupid mistake in the book. Everything you could possibly do wrong in selling, I've done it. And instead of getting discouraged and quitting, I just kept on, and I learned as I went along, and I got better and better at it to the point where I was really terrific at it. And my clients don't have to go through all of that process of years and years of trial and error and making all the dumb mistakes and finding out what doesn't work, because they can learn to do it correctly, and they can learn to do it correctly the first time.
Absolutely. And we sound like kindred spirits. I've been at this for about four decades myself, and also didn't do things right a lot of the time. So you learn with experience, but it's nice when somebody who has the experience can share with us what really does work, so we don't have to go through those failures and discouragement.
Well, you asked about passion, and one of the reasons that I'm so passionate about teaching people to sell is because selling has such a bad reputation, and it's been done so badly for so long, for so many years. Quick story. When I first started selling back in the 70s, I went to one of those big sales convention things that they do in the big arenas where they have this whole group of speakers that they bring in.
Right.
And one of the speakers came out, and this was about 1972. And he walked up to the front of the stage, and he put his hand in his pocket, and he looked out at the thousands of people out there, salespeople, and he said, "I want you to know that your prospects have your money in their pockets, and your job is to do everything short of going to jail to get the money out of their pockets and into yours." And that's how selling actually was done, and it's how it was taught for years and years and years. And it's no wonder that people think selling is icky and scary, and they don't want any part of somebody who's a salesperson, and they don't want to be a salesperson. There is a very positive, friendly, fun, effective way to sell. where you don't have to twist anybody's arm. You don't have to do any shady underhanded tricks. You don't have to get them to do what you want them to do. There's a way to do that, and that's what I teach people to do.
That's super. And so, yeah, sales does have a very negative reputation, and I really think it's our job to show the world that sales is not icky. And speaking of which, I know you have a book that you wrote. I've been reading it. Take the Icky and Scary Out of Sales. Is that what it's called?
That's what it's called.
Super. Tell us a little bit about your book.
The book is sort of a brief synopsis of everything that I teach my clients. And it's just the things that I learned over that 46 years and how I learned to do it and to do it more effectively. And so there are chapters on having great sales conversations, answering objections, asking for the sale, asking good open-ended questions, starting your sales conversation with a verbal agreement, building rapport and relationship, just all those kinds of things. And that's kind of what the book's about.
So a lifetime of experience right there in a book that our listeners can get how?
They can do one of two things. They can go to my website and purchase it there, and the website is redcapsalescoaching.com. Or they can go to amazon.com and put my name, Hugh Liddle, and that's L-I-D-D-L-E, by the way, rather than two T's.
Mm-hmm.
It's two D's. Put my name in search, and you'll find the book on there, and there are paperback and Kindle versions there.
Excellent. So just to recap, so everybody, you know, get your pen and paper out. This is Hugh Liddle's book, L-I-D-D-L-E. It's called Take the Icky and Scary Out of Sales. And you can get it at redcapsalescoaching.com. Or you can go to Amazon and type in his name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, Liddle, L-I-D-D-L-E. And you will be taken to his book. It's a great read. I highly recommend it. I'm enjoying it so much. Before I get to that, what would you say is a salesperson's job and what isn't it?
That's a terrific question. And it is not your job as a salesperson to talk people into doing what you want them to do. It's your job as a salesperson to help people do what they want to do. And there's a world of difference in those two things.
Yeah.
My friend Bob Berg wrote a tremendous book called It's Not About You. And really and truly, when you're having a sales conversation, it's not about you getting what you want. That's a serendipity if that happens. It's about helping your prospective client get what they want. Because everybody has something in their life or their business that they want to get rid of. They don't like having that challenge or that situation or that problem.
Right.
And they want to get rid of it. And they would do almost anything to get rid of it. There are other people who don't have a whole lot of challenges, but there are some goals that they have. There are some things that they want in their life and in their business, and they do almost anything and pay almost anything to get that into their life. And if you have the solution, if you have something that the results of working with you will help them get out of their life the things that they don't want there, or get into their lives the things that they do want there, and if you can effectively express to them what's in it for them to work with you, then 70, 80, 90% of the time, you have a new client. If they can afford you, they'll probably become your client. And that's really what a salesperson's job is. The other thing that I want to mention to you is that from time to time, depending on what your business is, you probably will run into people who don't see any value whatsoever in what you do.
Right.
And I always use chiropractors as an example because, bless their hearts, for so many years, they've had the experience of having people think that they're quacks and frauds and that they're not real doctors and that they're going to hurt you and that they'll mess your health up, they'll kill you, and they'll do all of these horrible things.
Right.
And here's the secret, though. When you're selling, it's not your job to be the jackass whisperer. It's not your job to convince somebody that what you do is valuable or that they should be interested in it or that they should see value in it when they don't. Instead, when you're selling, go out and find the people who are your ideal clients. Go out and find the people who really want what you have to offer. And for them to be your ideal clients, they have to be willing to make three commitments. They have to be willing to commit their time. They have to be willing to commit their effort, and they have to be willing to commit their money. If they're not willing to commit any one of those three things, then they're not your ideal client. And it's also not your job to convince. It's not your job to convince them that they should do that if they don't want to do it. Find the people who are looking for you. Find the people who are willing to commit. And then your job is just to help them get what they want. And in a nutshell, that's what I think your job is as a salesperson.
Excellent. I love that explanation. So time, effort, and money are the three things that you feel they have to be willing to invest to take advantage.
Yes, if you're doing coaching or you're providing some personal service where they're going to be working with you over a period of time, they've got to make the commitment to show up and be there when they're supposed
Absolutely.
To. And even if you're just offering something online and they have to actually go online and click a link and they have to go through a process and fill out a form and they're taking their time, and if they're not willing to commit to that, they're not your ideal client.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the time commitment. The effort commitment, and this is especially true of service-oriented, helping profession kinds of folks, chiropractors, acupuncturists, coaches, financial professionals. If you're doing coaching or teaching of any kind, your prospective client has to be willing to take the things that you're teaching them and put them into action in their life or their business.
Right.
If they're not willing to do that, it's not going to do them any good. They're not going to get any results. And it's really not coaching or teaching or even your product that people want. Nobody wants sales coaching or life coaching, or nobody wants to go into a chiropractic office and get an adjustment. What they want is the result that they get from doing that. So in order for them to get results, they've got to participate. They've got to put into action what they learn, or what you know, what you're helping them with. And then, of course, the other commitment is money. And if you have somebody who's not willing to give you your fair due share for the service or the product that you're providing, they're not an ideal client. So you've got to have those three commitments.
I totally agree. Totally agree. So let's say now you've found someone who meets those criteria and you've agreed to do business together. What do you think is the most important skill to develop in selling?
The most important skill to develop in selling, and this will surprise some people listening probably, because everybody always says, oh, that person is just such a good talker. They could sell icebox to Eskimos. They should be in sales because they talk so well. The two most important skills that you can develop to be tremendous in selling is asking good open-ended questions and listening very carefully to the answers. And listening not just with your ears and your brain, but listening with your heart. Because people make buying decisions emotionally. The logical part of them eventually kind of circles around and catches up.
Mm-hmm.
But buying decisions are made emotionally. So you have to listen carefully, and you have to find out what's important to your prospective client. What do they think? What do they feel? What are the challenges that they have? What are their goals? What is it that drives them nuts? What makes them happy? And you have to find out what's going on with them so you can figure out whether your product or service is really a good fit. And the only way that you can do that is to ask questions, because they know the answers and you don't. Don't ever assume that you know the answers, but they do. So if you ask good questions, you'll get the information. And if you're listening with your heart, you'll know what's important to them and the emotion that they feel, the emotional triggers that are going on for them, and the goals that they want or the problems that they want to solve. And when you know that, then you can effectively communicate to them what's in it for them if they work with you. So those are the two most important skills, listening and asking questions. That's it.
Is this part of what you teach?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
My clients get 20 open-ended questions. We play 20 questions that are 20 questions that are specific to their business and what they do.
Right. I think I went to the same training you did for that. Decades ago. but so important. People do make their buying decisions on an emotional level.
That's right.
Just you spouting out facts to them and this can help is not going to touch their heart where it needs to be touched.
Let me give you an example, and at the risk of being called sexist, I'll just make this about the ladies. Ladies, when you go out and you shop for a dress or a coat or a new pair of shoes or a handbag, why do you buy that particular article? Is it because it's just so well made and the craftsmanship is superb and it's going to last for a long time? It will be something that I can keep in my wardrobe for a long time. And I think that the colors are really pretty congruent with my look and what I want. You don't buy a dress or a coat or a handbag or a pair of shoes because of that. You buy it because it looks so cute on you. And when you go out, you're going to look so good and you're going to get compliments from people and you're going to feel so awesome when you go out there and step out of the house dressed in that outfit. That's why you buy it. And you may justify all of those other things may be perfectly true. But if I'm trying to sell you a dress, I'm going to talk to you about how fabulous you look in that dress and how cute you are and how all the women are going to be jealous and all the men are going to drool when you walk out the door with that dress on. And that's why you're going to buy it, y'all. I don't care what you say. You're going to buy it based on emotion, not because of what's logical. Oh, my wife knows all about that, and she agrees 100%.
Did you learn it from her?
I've learned it from her and from other women in my life. I have a wonderful mother in my life, and I have a wonderful sister and wonderful daughters and granddaughters, that I've even got a great granddaughter now.
So don't men make the same sort of decisions when they're buying?
Absolutely. You don't buy a car because of the gas mileage. You buy a car because you're sick of the old one, and this one smells great, and you look good in it, and everybody's going to be impressed when you drive up in it, and it just makes you feel so good when you're driving around doing that test drive. Oh, this is really cool. I love this car. It just feels so good. You don't do it for any of the logical reasons. You go home and tell your significant other, yes, I spent $45,000 on that car because it gets better gas mileage. Think of all of the money that I'm going to save on gas in the next couple of years. No.
Yeah, no. Oh, gosh. He got into our psyche, guys. He knows how we work.
The old time saying is, sell the sizzle, not the steak. And
there
it's absolutely
go.
True.
I like that. I have a few more questions for you. Do you still have time to spend with us?
I'd be happy to stay if I'm not cutting too much into anybody else's time.
No, we had some shuffling done today, so I do have some more time that I can spend with you, and I would love to do that.
Absolutely.
So the next question I have has to do with getting rid of the fear in selling. And, you know, you just shared with us that you have 20 open-ended questions that you listen with your heart and help them buy or connect with you on an emotional level. That can be kind of scary for people. How do you suggest that they get rid of the fear that they may have in doing all of this?
First of all, we have to get rid of the head trash that all of us have. We have to take that out and dump it and check in on a regular basis to make sure that we're not letting it creep back in again. And what I mean by that, I guess the number one fear that most people have is dying, and the number two fear is public speaking. Yeah. And the number three fear, I think, that most everybody has is, what will they think of me if?
Mm.
If they know that that I'm selling, what will they think? Will they think I'm being pushy? Will they think I'm being obnoxious? Will they think I'm being aggressive? Will they not want anything to do with me? And if I ask them for an appointment, will they think I'm bothering them? If I make a telephone call to them, will they think I'm bothering them? What are they going to think of me? Will they think less of me? Because we want people to like us. We want to be well thought of. And one of the biggest fears in selling is, if I say this to them, or if I ask them to do this, if I ask them for the sale, you know, there are so many salespeople out there who do really well when they're talking about their product or service, and they can do that very effectively. And it's time to ask somebody to be their client or their customer, and they just freeze up and they don't ask, and they wait for the client to jump in and say, oh, you know, could I do that, please? And that maybe happens once in a blue moon. So you have to ask, but people are afraid that they're going to ask, because if I ask, what's the fear? If I ask
they
them,
could
to,
say no.
They could say no. Oh, heavens, what if they say no? we tell ourselves these stories, and the stories that we tell ourselves so often are negative, and the what ifs that we set up for ourselves are so negative. So it's, what if I ask them for the sale and they say no? What if they think I'm being pushy and aggressive? What if they go tell all of their friends, I talked to that person and they're pushy and aggressive, don't have anything to do? What if their friends don't want to talk to me? What if nobody wants to talk to me? What if I fail miserably? What if I can't even sell anything? And we build this whole story up about how it's going to be a horrible thing if we ask for the sale. I have a good friend named Jonathan Mansky. He's the cerebral sanitation engineer who takes out your head trash. And Jonathan taught me this. It's the what if strategy that works awesomely for getting rid of fear.
Oh,
just as soon as you have that thought come into your head and into your solar plexus, into your heart and your gut, what if I do this and something horrible happens? Immediately change that around and say to yourself, what if I ask for the sale and they say yes? What if they absolutely love what I do? What if they go tell all their friends how awesome I am? What if all their friends call and want appointments? What if all their friends buy? What if I make a gazillion dollars? What if I get rich?
I love it.
That's a better story. And it's
absolutely.
Also, and this is the thing that's really key about this. If you've learned how to do an effective job of selling, the true story is really the second one. The first one's not true. Mark Twain said, "I'm an old man and I've seen much trouble, trial, and tribulation in my life, most of which never happened."
Yeah.
And it's absolutely true. We get all worried about these awful things that are going to happen. Listen, I've been selling for 46 years, and I've had loads of people tell me no, and I'm still alive and I'm talking to you right now.
Absolutely.
What does that tell you? No's don't kill you.
And in sales, I know it's an old cliche, but it's pretty true. It's a numbers game. There's going to be a certain percentage of the number of people that you talk to who will agree and emotionally connect and want your service or your product.
And so if I
those are just on the path to a yes.
And if I say no to you, Barb, does that mean there's something wrong with you?
Not in my book.
If I say no to you, does that mean that there's something wrong with your business?
Not at all. Just
if I say no to you, does that mean that you really couldn't help me if I let you?
Oh, absolutely not.
So if somebody tells you no, that says absolutely nothing about you. It says everything about them, about their situation, about their readiness to participate in what you're doing and take advantage of your product or your service. I had an old old sales manager. I've forgotten his last name. His first name was Jack, and he told me a lot of things. He taught me a lot of things about selling. The one thing that he taught me that I've never, ever forgotten, and I teach it to all of my clients, if you want to be successful in sales, you have to have a thick skin and a soft heart and not the other way around.
Right.
You let the no's roll off. They're not rejecting you. They're not saying bad things about you. And you have to have the empathy to realize that they are in a place right now where they're seeing an obstacle that they can't figure out any way to overcome, that they can't move past. Even if you've tried to help them move past it and they're telling you no, they can't see their way to doing that. And that speaks volumes about them, nothing about you and your value. You're great. So when you start thinking that way and you start telling yourself that story, that takes a lot of the fear out of it. And the other thing is, and this is huge, if your focus is on the person that you're working with, that you're talking with, if the focus is on them and helping them and not on me and doing what's good for me and making some money for me and having a successful sale for me, it takes the fear out of it too, because all you're doing is trying to help somebody else, and that's not a fearful thing.
Right. Totally agree. You have such a good grasp on this. I'm so glad that you're out there to help salespeople, whether they're up and coming or been in it for a while. I think all the things that you have to share are really so important.
Thank you.
So, you know, we're talking about mindset, how it's important in selling. What are some of the most important areas where our thinking needs to be right, other than the fear and what if?
Believing in yourself is part of the mindset. And
cool.
If you don't believe that you're capable of being a good salesperson, and I've run into so many people who, you know, that's what they say to themselves about sales or selling. I could never do that. I'm just not good at sales. I just don't think I can do it. So if you've started a business and you need to sell, but what you're feeling about yourself is I'm not good at sales, it's going to be really tough to go out
really?
And be good at sales. And the fact of the matter is that anybody can be good at sales if they learn the set of attitudes and skills that can be taught and learned. You can learn to be a great salesperson in a very short space of time if you want to. But believing that you can, believing that you have that ability is key. And then believing in your product or service, believing that there's nothing better that a person could do than take advantage of you and your product or service. And if you don't feel that way about your product or service, you need to find a product or service that you do feel that way about. Because if you don't, if you're not sold yourself on your product or service, if you don't think it's the greatest, if you don't think it's the best, your prospective client will pick up on that too, and they won't buy from you because there's an unseen energy that passes between you and your prospect. And they just get the feeling that there's something wrong. This, I don't know. Can't put my finger on it, but I think I'll just tell them I want to think about it. I'm not going to think about it long because the energy just isn't there. So you've got to believe in your product or service. And if you work for somebody else, you have to believe in your company. You have to believe in the way they treat people. You have to believe in their mission statement. You have to believe in the customer service that they provide. You have to believe in the way that they treat their employees. You have to be sold on them before you can go back out and talk to people about what a great experience they can have if they partner with that company and that product or service. So that's the, one of the things about mindset. And the other thing is we've already discussed. It's just that your focus has to be on them instead of you. And you have to be focused on really helping them instead of trying to get them to do what you would like for them to do or what you even think
I
they
agree.
Should do.
Yep. I really just would love to underline everything you said there. It's so, so important. Nobody wants to be sold, but everybody wants to buy.
So that's right.
And I forget what the... there's a saying, if I say it, something, but if they say it, it's fact.
If they say it, it's a really good idea. If you say it, it may be a good idea. Yeah. It might not. Their ideas are always better
than yours. Or you might just be a
yours.
Salesman. So important. Okay, so now, you know, we've got this person. We know that we've connected with them emotionally, and we're ready to present our product that can help them with their problem. Why do you say it's important to stop doing sales presentations? How do I get across to them, you know, how they can benefit from this if I'm not going to do a presentation?
Sales presentations are kind of the old style way of doing things. And in the old days, they involved charts and graphs and brochures and getting up and telling somebody all about your business and everything that was involved in it. Nowadays, you don't really have to do that because they've already researched you online. They've already been to your social media sites. They've already been to your website. They have a pretty good idea of what you offer and what you can do. And to be really honest with you, and I hate to tell you this because, you know, I know you're going to have hurt feelings about this. Your prospective client doesn't. Your prospective client doesn't give a rip about you. They could care less.
They could
care less about your expertise. They could care less about your education. They could care less about how long you've been in business. They could care less about how your program works. They only have one question in their mind, and that question is, what's in it for me? If I do business with you, what is the result going to be? How is my life going to be better, easier, more productive, more profitable, more peaceful? How am I going to feel better? How is my life just going to improve so much if I do business with you? And the way that most salespeople, until they really learn how to do it differently, the way that they answer that question is by saying, well, you know, I have been in business for 46 years, and I've been helping people do this and that and the other thing, and I have wonderful customer service, and I have this program that is just great. And the way that this program works is that it does this, and it does this, and it does this, and it does this. So are you interested in doing something like that? And I would suggest to you that that's how a typical sales presentation goes.
Yeah.
A sales conversation, though, is a conversation between two people. and trying to figure out how to solve the problem that that person has or how to get what they want. And so when it's time to talk about the solution, instead of talking about yourself and your company and your program, use you statements. You can do, you can be, you can learn, you can enjoy, you can have, you can take advantage of. And you can still talk about your program, but talk about it in terms of the results that they're going to be, that they're going to get. It's so typical for people to say, well, I've been in business for so long. Well, see, I could say, well, I've been selling for 46 years. And what I expect them to get from that is, oh, he must know what he's doing. He's been selling for 46 years, so I could probably learn something from it. Instead of saying that, I say something like, when we partner together, you could take advantage of 46 years of sales experience. Yeah. All of the mistakes and errors and trial and error has already been done for you, and you can learn to really sell effectively and boost your conversion rate up over 50%, up in the 60, 70, 80% range, and you can just dramatically increase your sales and get the money rolling into your account. Okay, now who did I make that about? Did I make that about me and how great I am because I've been selling for 46 years?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's about them. It's about the result that they can get. And so you need to craft and memorize and rehearse you statements that you can apply specifically to the emotional triggers and the needs that you've uncovered when you're asking questions. And that's how you present your product or service, is by the results that they will receive when you partner together or when they take advantage of your product or your service, the result that they're going to get and how their life is going to be better when they do that.
So true.
And then when it's time to ask for the sale, you can simply ask them, so how would you feel about trusting me to partner with you and help you do whatever? Or how would you feel about taking advantage of my product or service? Oh, that'd be really great. Well, how would you like to look at a few options that you have available? And you show them two or three options and then ask them, which one of those options do you think is going to be the best fit for you right now? Mm-hmm. And it's just so effective. It works so well. And you're having a conversation and you're asking questions and they're responding back and forth. You're not just telling, you're asking and you're having a conversation. And it's so much more fun than doing a presentation, and it's so much more effective, and people buy. It's really cool.
Yes, it's really cool. And listen, everyone, I'm not sure if you know this or not, but this interview is being recorded and will be available on the BBS Radio site. And you can come back to it and listen to it, because I know I've been taking notes seriously here, and you know I've been in sales for a very long time, but there are things that you need to be reminded of. And if you've gotten some value from what you had to share with us today, you can certainly come back and listen again. And it will have information on how to get in touch with you and how to get his book and so forth. So please, you'll come to bbsradio.com and look for host Barb Sayers and then show Biz Buzz, B-I-Z-Z-B-U-Z-Z, and look for the interview with Hugh Little. I have one more question for you. Often you mention that it's important to have fun, and I can tell that you do. I can hear it in your voice. Why is that important in selling?
Because nobody wants to be bored. Nobody wants to go through some long, drawn-out presentation where they're listening to a bunch of facts and figures and somebody groan on for an hour. And it's so much fun to connect and build rapport and have a conversation with somebody and be interested in somebody and learn about them and then offer them something that is really valuable to them and have them say yes and take you up on that and agree to participate with you in your program. There's not anything that I know of that's more fun. It's why I do what I do, because I have such a great time doing it, and you can too. You really can. And speaking of fun, Barb, I want to ask you a question. How would you like for me to give your listeners a $400 free gift?
Woo! I would love that.
If you would like to go to bit.ly, that's bit.ly/HughesCalendar, and that's Hughes without an apostrophe before the S, and you have to capitalize the H in Hugh, and you have to capitalize the C in calendar to get to the right place. It's bit.ly/HughesCalendar, and you can have a conversation with me for a whole hour about your specific business, and we can talk about your sales and your situation, any challenges that you're having, the goals that you have, and what you'll get is just tons of good input, strategies, ideas, and there's no charge for that.
Wow.
Ordinarily, an hour of my time. Ordinarily, you'd have to invest the $400 to have an hour of my time. You can have that at no charge. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, if I take him up on that, then I'm going to be obligated, and he's going to twist my arm and try to get me to buy something, and I don't even want that hassle, so I'm not going to do it. Not only is there no charge, there's absolutely no obligation, and there's absolutely no pressure ever, because I am really good at selling. And so I practice what I preach. So if you decide at the end of the conversation that my ongoing coaching might be helpful to you, then we can certainly talk about that. But if you want to take the tips and the strategies and say thank you and bye and go apply them and up your sales, that's awesome too. So please feel free to take advantage of that offer. Any of you who are on Barb's call, I'd be glad to do that for you.
Right, and be sure to mention somewhere along the line that you heard about him on the Biz Buzz Radio show, so that he knows that this is his complimentary offer for something that's normally $400, but I think the value here is much greater than that. I think he'd willingly pay at least $1,000 to get all of the help that you'll get in this call with Hugh. So there's two more things I want to cover. One is your website is Red Cap Sales Coaching. Tell us, how does Red Cap fit in with Wizard?
The cap actually came first. And at the time, I was doing in-person sales coaching, and I had a little uniform with a red shirt and a black pants, or sometimes it was a black shirt with a red logo. But the cap just went along so well with it, and I saw that and started wearing a red cap all the time. And there was a marketing person who sat me down over a cup of coffee and said, you know, you've got to brand that cap, because nobody would know who you were if you weren't wearing the cap, or if you were wearing a different colored one. And so you need to call your business Red Cap something. So we decided on Red Cap Sales Coaching. And it's also the idea, you know, the red caps on the trains. Back in the day, they used to be the concierges who took care of the wealthy people who owned a railroad car or part of a railroad car. And they became synonymous with great customer service. So it was somebody about my age who suggested that, and I wanted to check it out with some younger people, so I asked them about the red cap concierge on the train type of thing and great customer service, and he was in his early 30s, and his response was, well, retro is in. And I was so excited to be retro instead of old and in instead of out that was it, and it became my brand, and it's been a very good brand. Everybody knows the hat. Nobody knows me. So that's that. And then I started singing.
Is that
singing.
Why the gown on your wizard is red?
Yeah, that's the wizard was specially created for me, and it's how I would probably look if I had a beard that was taller. the wizard has a red cap on. And the way that the wizard came about is that I started singing to my wife in the morning before I left for the office.
Aww.
I'm off to be the wizard, the wonderful wizard of sale. And it was just a little joke, and we laughed. And then I got to thinking, the sales wizard, that's pretty cool. You know, I could do some things in marketing with that, too. So that's how all of that came about.
So cool. So just recap for our listeners how they can get in touch with you, if you want to leave a phone number for them, whatever. And your information will be on the radio site, and it'll be up there for at least 30 days. So tell
us very best,
how
the
we
very
can get
best,
in touch with you.
Yeah, the very best way to get in touch with me, because I do so many sessions and classes and so on during the day, and you never know when you're going to be able to get me on the telephone. The very best way to connect with me is to go to bit.ly/HughesCalendar. And when you do that, you can look for an available time, and you can just go ahead and schedule it in for yourself. And it pops up on my calendar, and it pops up on your calendar, and you get contact information where you can either meet with me virtually if you want to, or you can call in, and there are a couple of telephone numbers there that you can use. And that way you have a specific time when you know that it's completely yours and you get to talk to me. And whether you want to talk to me for the whole hour or whether you just want a few minutes of my time to ask a question or two, you can utilize that time, and you'll actually have an appointment set up. So I'll be sure to be there and be available for you. So that's the best way to get hold of me. And you can also go to redcapsalescoaching.com if you want to get some more information and kind of look around at that and see all of the different kinds of things that are available to you at Redcap.
Right.
And there's one more place that you can go, and that is EliteSalesAcademy.com. And EliteSalesAcademy.com is an online sales training program. It's 24 videos, and there are quizzes, and there's text, and there's all kinds of great things that will teach you to be really, really great at sales, and you can do it in your own time, at your own pace, in your own home or office, right on your computer. And you can actually go to that site, EliteSalesAcademy.com, and you can watch the first video in the series absolutely free. And you can kind of see what that's like. And if you think it would be valuable for you, you can go ahead and enroll in that. And you actually have a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can try the program out for 30 days. And if in the unlikely event that you don't find any value in it, you can have your money back. So those are three ways that you can kind of contact me and find out what's in it for you if you work with me on some level.
Fantastic. Hugh, I want to thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your expertise so willingly and so succinctly. I think our listeners just really got a double whammy today. Go ahead.
Well, this was really fun for me, and I knew it was going to be fun because you were on my show. And by the way, you can go to soundcloud.com/SCT-show, and you can scroll down just a little bit, and you can find Barb's show there and listen to the interview with her. And she was absolutely brilliant. And you can find out some great things about Barb and what she does by going to that show. So I already knew I was going to have fun, and I just so much appreciate you inviting me to be on the show, Barb. Thank you.
Thank you. That was soundcloud.com/what?
SCT, stands for Sales Chalk Talk, SCT-show.
Dash show. Excellent. Thank you. I appreciate that little plug. So we're going to take a short break, but don't go away. You're going to love the information that we have to share with you. We're going to take a look at the Way to Wealth business event that's taking place here in Denver the first week of November. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Thank you again, Hugh, for being with us.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge. Bringing humanity closer to truth. BBSRadio.com.
Thank you for being with us today. As you know, I'm Barb Sayers, CEO and co-founder of Sister Sister Enterprises. We are a marketing and strategic consulting firm, and I really hope you gained knowledge and insight from the show today. That's why we do this show. So come back often and make sure to tell all your friends and clients about BizBuzz too. You can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, as well as sistertosisterenterprises.com. Leave us a message at bsayers@sisterenterprises.com. And you can get on my calendar for a complimentary 30-minute discovery session to see if we'd be a good fit to do business together. And that's acuityscheduling.com, A-C-U-I-T-Y, scheduling.com. And you can find a slot that works for you. And as Hugh was saying, if you have an appointment with me on the calendar, I'm sure to be there. And it's more effective than if you just call and maybe I'm busy doing a presentation or something. So we'll be back again on October 13, noon Mountain Time, at bbsradio.com/bizbuzz. We'll be talking with more business owners and successful entrepreneurs about their businesses. Specifically, we'll have Ed Kasser with Pristine Carpet. He's going to share with us the do's and don'ts of good carpet care and cleaning, and you'll be amazed at what you thought you were doing right and what's actually hurting your carpet. You're going to love what he has to share with us. And we'll have Belinda Christine. She's in the business of relationships and helps women have better and more meaningful relationships, which in turn helps them make more money by helping them clear up the junk that gets in the way of the good stuff in life. Remember, your success is our success. And I seem to be out of time. I just want to say go to BizBuzz.com, look for Barb Sayers under events, and I will have all the information regarding the Way to Wealth event on November 3rd. Hope to see you all there. Take care. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again on October 13th. Bye for now.